are the best of times, and in some ways they're the worst of times. But nonetheless, God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still working miracles. God is still perfecting things that concern us. And so I'm happy this morning just to be able to be a part of what God is doing. And I want to tell you, if you feel like, you know, I've done this so many times since March. I've sat and I've gotten melancholy, and I've said so many times, God, if we could just go back to how things used to be. And I've done that, and I've done it over and over. How many of you have done that since then? If you thought, gosh, I wish we could just go back to normal, where we can just go somewhere without a face mask on, where we could just do this, or just go somewhere, go to the movies, or just go back to normal. And, you know, I sat at my couch last night, and it's crazy how, Andy, will you fix that? Because I'm a little OCD, and that's bothering me. That row is crooked. Yeah, just lift it up a little bit. I don't like crooked things. Anyhow, I was sitting at my couch yesterday, and I was thinking about what I felt like God was going to say to people today. And, you know, I don't know if this happens to anybody else, but sometimes I'll sit and I'll start praying, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking about supper. Or I'll be sitting there praying my heart out, and I'll be like, Sally Sue looked at me wrong the other day, and I'm mad at her. You know, you'll be meditating, or you'll be praying, and before you're done with that, you're off in Timbuktu in your brain, and you done thought about, well, I mean, is the laundry done? You know, you'll just go. Your mind will wander. And so as I sat last night and I began to seek God about what he wanted to minister about today, my mind began to wander. And I got, for a moment, I got a little ishy-gushy inside. And I just kind of felt sad for a moment because I thought, God, I would do anything to just be able to go back to how Sunday mornings used to be. You know, it had gotten to where when you'd come in here on a Sunday morning, there wouldn't be a place to sit down. Let me tell you something. Whatever you think that is going on, what God is going to do in this place, what God is going to do in your life, it doesn't matter the seats that are full right now, because we're going to have to buy new seats, because there's going to be full in here, and people are going to be looking again to where we're going to go. But I'm going to tell you something. What it's going to take in the spot that we're in right now is for you to not lose sight of the overall big goal. See, the devil would love to get each and every single last one of you to, Angel's back there smiling under that mask. Y'all remember where I was at the other day? I was breathing, you know, God forbid, I was breathing under that mask, and that mask kind of caved up in my face. You know, you ever have your mask get stuck to your face? So I stuck my tongue out there, and I got it out. And I was thinking, thank God people can't see what's really going on under these masks. And my goofy self, I'm sitting there still smiling in Walmart, and I'm like, man, I could get away with doing the worst thing under here because nobody knows what's going on. But anyhow, yesterday I sat there and my heart just got troubled. And I thought, I wish we could go back. I said that. How many of you throughout this time, you've said that about something? God, if we could just go back. If we could just go back to how my job used to be. Well, look here, let me tell you something. You wouldn't be happy with how it used to be because you wasn't happy with it when it was. God is teaching us something. God is showing us some things. And as I sat there on the couch yesterday and my heart began to be troubled, and I did. I said, God, if I could just go back, if we could just go back to how things were, everything was getting lined out. Everything was going good. You ever say that stuff? Look here. It is what it is, and we are where we are. And God said, Kelly, I want you to minister about that because, see, the whole world is doing that. The whole world is looking at this thing wrong. We're looking at it wrong. Let me tell you something. There's always a trial before there's a victory. There's always a trial before there's a victory. There's always a issue before a breakthrough. Let me tell you something. Just because we've reached the boundary line of stress and fear and worry and anxiety. Look here. All that we got to do, Keisha, is step over. God's going to give us grace to step over. There's been so many. What this has done is this has given us an advantage. I know we don't feel like it has, but you know, this ministry has been able to minister in a whole new way that it never has before, to sow seed into avenues that we never have before. And you know what? If you'll look in your life, there's things that have come good out of this. It's hard to see those things because the overall big picture is what we're living in right now. But what I would encourage you is this right here. Things are never what they seem like when you're looking at them. So stop looking at your situation in the natural realm. They're not what they look like. God's working on some things. When things look bad and they look rough, God's working on them. Don't go by what you see. What we have to do is we have to develop some more skills to be able to make it in hard times. It's a skill to be able to keep your peace, right or wrong. It's a skill to be able to keep your cool when you want to lose it, right or wrong. It's a skill to hang in there and hold on to the living God when everybody else is turning their back on God. See, this is a nationwide issue right now. We're going to teach y'all some skills this morning because there's some things. Stop looking at that glass like it's half empty. I want you to look at it again. And I want you to see, no, in fact, it's really halfway full. And God is adding to it. God is adding to it. And so if you've been sitting on your couch here lately and you've been reminiscing, thinking, I wish I could just go back, I'm going to beg you to stop saying that. Because the place where God has taken you, you want to go there. Stop looking back at what you had. See, before the corona, did y'all have problems before the corona? Isn't it amazing how this has made it seem like this is all we focus on? There you go. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 1. We have to develop the skill set that, Heather, we're pushing forward. We are moving forward. What do we got to do when we're moving forward? You know what? It's uncomfortable to move forward. Why? Because moving forward requires change. When you want to move forward in your life, when you want to move forward with God, it's going to cause you to make some changes. People don't like change because it's scary. Many times when we get into this, Keisha, we begin to do a couple things. Moan, groan, and complain. How many of you have done some of that since March? Moaning, groaning, and complaining. God, why did you let this happen to us? God, what in the world? Look here. In the last days, there's going to be stuff that we ain't seen before. We're living that right now. When we say these are the best of times and these are the worst of times, look here. For every believer, this can be the best of times for you. We don't run from trouble. We handle trouble. A skill set that we're going to talk about today is not complaining. And in Numbers chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord." And I'm going to set the stage for you. How many of you all have heard about Moses ever in your life? Okay? Moses started out as a baby. His mama put him in a basket, and they all start out as babies, Angel. Stop it. I know the smart alecks in the church. They on the back row. They're fixing to go to California. I don't know what I'm going to do without somebody snickering on the back for a week. Yes, we all start out as babies. Thank you. He started out as a baby. His mama put him in a basket, and she sailed him down the river. The princess found that baby, took him in, raised him as his own, her own, and he was raised in the palace, and he became a prince. See, God will make an ordinary person, and he'll give them something that rightfully they should not have had. What he was giving Moses was skills. Skills that he would have never gotten in bondage. What did God do? God saw Moses. He took him out of bondage and he put him in a palace because he knew there were some skills he was going to learn in that palace that those Israelite people needed for him to be able to know, for him to get them from square one to square two, from slavery to freedom, from bondage to the promised land. See, there's things God wants to take us to, but we got to stop that complaining and looking back. And so, right now, what we're reading in Numbers 11 is the point where, you know, Moses, they went through all the plagues. They went through all this stuff. Let my people go. He finally did. He finally let them go. And so Moses is bringing them out of that. And they've been in the desert. Well, people be people and people be complaining. We'll ask God for something. God will give it to us and we'll complain about the very thing that we ask God for. We are fickle. When God says, you're a peculiar people, he nailed it. We're strange. Because we like to complain about everything. We'll complain about the thing that we prayed so hard for. People will work towards something. In a moment, let it go. Look here. Stop being fickle. Be a believer. Keep in there. Keep on that track. So it says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. So here's God, and he done brought them out of some stuff, and he begins to hear them complaining. Well, that would tick me off. I mean, come on. Slavery? Let's go to the desert. That's, to me, better than slavery. And so God began to hear all these complaints. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. So here's their camp, and they're complaining, irritated God. And Misty, he caused fire to come down among them, and it burned the outskirts of the camp. And what I want to tell you right now is you're moaning, you're groaning, and you're complaining against what God is trying to do in your life is going to close you in. What did it say happened to that camp? The whole outskirts of it was consumed with fire. What does fire do? Closes them in. When we complain, it's going to close us in on some things. There may be some missed opportunities that we should have had, but our big mouth got us in trouble. And when the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. See, the Israelites, they love to complain. When you read these chapters and all these books, they were professional complainers. Those type of people still exist today. Do y'all know any of them? Are you one of them? I am. I ain't even going to lie. Jeremy tells me if you couldn't complain, you wouldn't know what to do. Well, he's speaking truth. I mean, we're in church. We don't need to lie about it. And it says here, once again, complaining. That night, all of the people of the community raised their voices and wept out aloud. See, look here, when stuff doesn't go our way, what do? We get loud about it. You know anybody, anytime something don't go their way, they're going to show out. Why? Because they're too immature to just handle it like an adult and sit there and shut their mouth and say, God, are you bringing me through something because of a mistake that I made? Or God, are you helping me to go to the next level? See, there's people, they don't have the concept to shut up long enough. They want to get loud about every single thing. Y'all know any of them? Are you one of them? Well, I praise God for honesty. So here's what they did. They got loud about it, Crystal. They began to act up. Weeping, crying, hollering, just acting a straight up fool. So that night, all the people of the community, they raised their voices and wept aloud. And all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, if only we had got to die in our slavery. We want that slavery so bad back. We wish we would have stayed in it and we would have died in it. Forget this freedom that God's trying to give us. This is hard. All we're getting to eat is this manna, this bread. They just began to complain. Well, and they said, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Well, let me tell you something. There are times where God is going to have to walk you through some things in your life you are not going to like. They are not going to be pleasant. There ain't no way around that. There are times where God just steps in and he says, I'm just going to carry you right here and I'm going to put you over there, and he carries you. But that's not how it is all the time. There's times where the book of Isaiah takes place and it says, when you walk through the fire, I'm not going to let it overtake you, but baby, you're going to walk through it. When you go through the river, I'm not going to let it overtake you, but baby, you're going to go through the river. It's like the day that, for whatever reason, God wanted me to be in a leech line in my parents' pasture in their feces, digging out the tractor for 8 hours. And I said, God, this is not what I had planned to do today. Why are you making me do this? You know how tempted I was to call Shane? I'm like, man, Shane could help me dig up some of this poop. What in the world? God said, no, Kelly, you're going to stick this through. And you're going to see this little project to the end. See, there are something in people these days, and they don't want to see anything to the end. They want to stop right in the middle of it, right when it gets hard, and they want to complain. That's not going to cut it right now. We're not in a season of that where we can get away with that type of stuff. We're in the season where we're going to pick up some skills, and we're going to get what we need to make it through. And when we make it through, what God has on the other side is something we could have never even imagined or predicted. It's amazing. But we're going to have to walk through some stuff. We're going to have to get through the other side. And it says, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Y'all said, I just wish I could go back before this corona. If I've said that once, I've said it a million times since March. My first service being outside, I was so mad at God. Oh, was I ticked. Then when I saw people begin to not come to church, then I was just down. You know what God is teaching me? God will build the house. God will build the house. Kelly, don't labor in vain. I'm building this. Don't look and get discouraged at all the empty seats. They'll come back and I'll add to them. See, what are you supposed to get out of this? What are you supposed to get out of this? I'm going to ask you to get it so you can get to the other side. The worst thing we can do when God is trying to teach us and to help us to grow is just mumble, groan, and complain. We need to move forward. When you're moving forward, you can't move forward and be looking back at the same time. What happens when we try to do that? We're torn right down the middle. Why do you think so many people have one foot in the kingdom of heaven and one foot in the kingdom of hell? Because they're trying to go forward and backwards all in the same time and they don't even know what they're doing. It's time to move forward. We can't afford to look back for a moment. If you're in your job and it's gotten more difficult because of this corona, you can't afford the luxury of that type of thinking because it's going to get you down in your mental state. You don't want to go there. God gave you that job. God will keep that job for you and God will make you prosper. And when he wants you to go, he's going to open a door and you're going to walk through it and you're going to have peace when you walk through it. But see, all of this constant willy-nilly, wishy-washy, lukewarm, I'm going to go to church when I feel like it, that ain't going to cut that. It just doesn't. I'm not a popularity pastor. I'm just going to tell it like it is. It's the only way we can go. Why? Because if I sugarcoat some things for one moment, it's the spirit of confusion will get up in here. I was talking to somebody the other day. They don't go to our church. And they said, well, my pastor said such and such, and that is very confusing. And they were fishing for me to jump in there and give my opinion. Well, I'm a very opinionated person. I almost did, and the Holy Spirit shut my mouth, and he said, you're not there, Pastor. Shut up. Get into that. Kelly, waste your breath. That ain't your problem. Don't get up into that. We got to move forward. What does it take to move forward? Let's stop looking back. Don't sit on your couch anymore and cry your eyes out because things ain't going right because you feel like this corona is the big bad devil that's messed up everything in your life. It's not. See, what we're doing is we're glorifying something. I'll put it to you like this. I'm about to get real, real up in here, John, and you're going to have to just not think I'm the devil. You ever just really dislike somebody so bad that it came to a point where it didn't matter what in the world? Everything that went wrong in your day was their fault because you just didn't like them. You ever had to work with somebody? God bless America. You just could not stand them. And if you stubbed your toe in some crazy, weird, perverted way, it was their fault they did it. And you're thinking, that girl, she done that. Man, she wasn't nowhere around. She's on vacation when you stubbed that toe. But you just didn't like her. See, we got to get to a different point in our lives because that's what we're doing with the corona. We are glorifying. I'll put it to you another way. I used to do this a lot, and God corrected this in my life. Everything that used to be bad, see, I've grown up in church my whole life, and it takes you a while to realize what you feel and think about certain things when you've grown up in something your whole life. And Melissa, every time something bad would happen, I would just say, the devil did that. Let me tell you, the devil don't do half of what we think and say that he does. When we go off in left field and something happens in left field, 2 plus 2 is always going to equal 4. When you go to a Subway and you think that you're going to get Pizza Hut, you're going to be upset. Because you're not. Don't glorify the devil with all the stuff that you basically brought on yourself. You ever done a real rammer jammer and you're sitting back and It's amazing how we can't take responsibility for our actions. We're going, oh, that terrible devil, he's done that to me. And the devil's going, yeah, keep telling people that. You know? And God's going, no, devil didn't do that to you. You did that to you. See, we need to be very careful with glorifying Corona or anything else. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is going to come back. That's going to settle every single thing. So, here's the people, and they're complaining and complaining and complaining. And they said to each other, wouldn't it be better for us to just go back? And I've said that many times. Everything was just getting settled. God, could you not have just give us a good first year of this? God, it's been trouble from the very moment that we took this over. Lord, and then you just begin to moan and groan and complain. And then something weird happens when we do that. We get in a bad mood. Then something even weirder happens. Then we don't want to do nothing. Then something even stranger happens. We don't want to do nothing, so we do nothing, and we get depressed. And then what do? The devil has just gotten a hold of me. No, you got a hold of you. Get your rear end up and quit glorifying whatever is going on and get up and do something. Get up and do something for God. Do what he told you to do. Suit up and show up and go forward. And when you're going forward, don't be like me when I was sitting on the couch and I'm sitting here. What are we going to preach tomorrow? And the devil's trying to take me back to, I wish everything could just be like what it was. God said, Kelly, you don't want everything like what it was. Because if you could see what I'm going to do, you wouldn't take that for a minute because you'd be settling. Many people don't want to go forward because they're so messed up about what they think they're going to have to leave behind. Let me tell you something. When God truly gives you something, when he brings you up out of that desert, when he says, look here, you're not going to be a slave to all this stuff like you've been being, and you're looking back, you're hindering your own self. It's not the devil doing that to you, it's you. Don't hinder your own self. Don't look back. You're not going that way no more. For a lot of us, we were thinking our lives just got straightened out with some things. We just got settled. Things were just now starting to look good. Anybody say that? And God's going, stop that. Stop it. You're getting yourself psyched up. Glory. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18. So what we're learning today, what we're talking about today, is some skills. Because, see, God wants to thrust us forward. This thing right here, God's going to use this to advance many people. What the devil intended for harm, God will, can, and is planning on turning it around for our good. We're going to have to do our part. We're going to have to do our part. What is our part? That's what we're talking about today. Our part, number one, stop the moaning and the groaning and the complaining. Stop saying, I want to go back. No, you don't. It would be tempting and appealing to go back because backwards is comfort. You don't want to do that. You want to go forward. To go forward, there's going to be some times where you're uncomfortable. There's going to be times where God's got his hand on you and he's molding you and it's uncomfortable. Take it like a man. That's what I tell my boys. You did it. You're going to take it like a man. I got one. He'll roll around on the ground like a slithering, weird creature. He'll cry, carry on. He'll do moves I've never seen before in my life. And I got one. He's a man's man. He'll stand up, Brother Larry, and he'll take it like a man. If I say, you got one lick coming, he'll take his lick. Look here. We got to learn when God's trying to help us and he's trying to move us forward. Just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean that you need to buck God. It means you need to bear down. You need to bear down because, look here, the devil's going to try everything he can do to get you off. The devil don't want you to be having your next biggest thing from God. We're in a season right now. I don't know what in the world God's fixing to do, but we're in a very important season. He's wanting to just take people and move them forward. And the problem is the devil is getting everybody so crazy mentally. Have you felt crazy mentally over the last few months? Have you not? I mean, even some sane folks is like, man, I'm feeling kind of crazy. Have you felt that thing in your brain that just makes you feel like, I want to go pull some shenanigans. What am I going to do? Don't do that. Them shenanigans cost you time. You don't want to have no time up in the desert. See these people? They could have got through the desert a little quicker. What held them up? Complaining. Constant. I wish we could go back. We're only getting manna. God, we want some meat. You know what I told Jeremy the other day? I said, look, this is what this looks like to me, Jeremy. We're all going to be vegetarians. Because now China has done conjured up a new virus over there in the pigs. My solution to that, don't eat meat. I mean, you know, that's a joke, people. We're going to be eating meat. I don't care what's up in it. I'm going to take my chances. Y'all need to loosen up. So Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. Forget the former things. Forget the former things. There's things that we keep recalling in our mind and they're messing you up. Why? Because you keep saying, I want to go back to that place in my life. Look here, you can't go back. You can't go back. You're in right now and today. Going back is not an option. You have to move forward. How do we move forward? We stop recalling in our mind the former things. You know, the first way that you get over somebody really hurting you really bad is you stop recalling every awful thing that they said to you. You stop, when that thought comes in your brain, you take it captive and you just say, I'm not going to think about that anymore because I've got to get over this. I've got to work through this. Then what you do is you stop talking about it. You can't get over nothing that you keep on blabbering about. Do I think you need to get it out once? Get it out? Yeah, get it out. Okay. And then get it out and don't glorify it anymore. Quit giving it life. Quit reliving pain, painful words, painful seasons in your life. We don't want to go back to those. There's things about my life, Keisha, that I thought were just so great before all this happened. But you know what? What I'm starting to see is all the different ways God is intertwined in everything that's going on. He is so, I'm very reluctant to tell people to the extent of the glory of God that he's done in this ministry just because people don't like to hear nothing good. If it ain't negative, people don't want to hear it because they either get jealous or they just get all crazy acting. And I don't want to give people not one more thing to have to deal with and answer for. But let me tell you something. God has been very present in this time of trouble. I can look back and see the favor of God better than we've ever had it. And here I'm sitting there thinking, well, things could just be like they was. You know what God had to do to me? because it got to where I was looking around. Oh, is there any seats empty? See, that's what the devil will do to your pastors. He'll get you looking, focusing, and then when somebody don't come, you sit there and you stay up at night and you think, did I do anything to them? Did I say anything? And see, then you don't get rest. Then you wake up and you're irritated. See, God thought, I'm going to change it up. Kelly, we're going outside. Man, I never knew who was there. When we had outside church, we just had outside church. You know what I knew? There was a dog fight and a crazy old man and his motor scooter. That was it. People said, we need to have a big fat Easter feast, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. And see, God began to minister this word to me way back in April when I had to go out there in the rain with the Easter bunny and the deacon and hand all them Easter eggs out to the people in their cars. Something inside of me said, in Jesus' name, we ain't going to have an Easter feast because we are not going backwards in this church. We can have another feast and we can call it whatever we want to call it, but it ain't going to be Easter because we are not going backwards. We are going forwards. We had Easter. We glorified the resurrection of the Son of God. But let me tell you something. We ain't moving backwards. We had Easter at this church, Mama Brenda. And look here. Whoever wanted to come, they came. I said, no, we're not making that up because, see, we did it. We had it. You got to get that thing where you say, I'm not looking back. Even if it was pleasant, I'm not looking back. Not looking back at that thing. So forget about it. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. Stop dwelling on that. Stop thinking about it, getting yourself all worked up. You notice right before you're going to go to bed, you're going to think about the thing that's going to get you worked up the most. Then you're going to wonder why you can't rest. Well, you set yourself up to not rest. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say new thing. Do y'all like to get new stuff? I do. All I've been able to buy since March is paparazzi jewelry. That's why I'm all blinged out for $5 a set in the Sonic app. Thank God for both of those, because I think I would just about lose my marbles. I'm buying jewelry, and I'm buying junk food. Praise God for both of those things. I want them. Don't look back. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing, and now, see, now, it's springing up. We planted some flowers. I thought, them things are going to die. They haven't died yet. It's been about 3 weeks. It's springing up. They're growing. That's what happens when we do what God tells us to do. Get it in your head. God's taking you somewhere new. He's moving you forward. What do you have to do? Don't complain. Don't groan. And don't sit there and get all Willy Wonky on me and get all, I want to go back. No, you don't. You don't want to go back. You got something better that he's doing. Get that out of you. Run it out of your system. Get it out of your system. There's no going back. God's got something better. He's got something better. And it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And the problem all over the world right now, Cindy, is that people, believers, cannot perceive what God is trying to do. God is on the throne. He's never left the throne. We need to perceive and receive what he's trying to do. What is he trying to do? He's trying to move us up. He's trying to thrust us up. And we're over here crying, I want to go back. At least I am. I'm over there and I ain't even got tears in my eyes. Quit that out. These eyelashes are already on their last leg. This is week two. They only last for 2 weeks. I just stopped this crying about all this stuff. God said, Kelly, stop doing that. You're not ever going back to what it was. You're going to something better. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals, they honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And I want to tell you something. We have to learn how to praise Him at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I know that what we've gone through and what we are continuing to go through, and the key word is go through, I know that it's been difficult. I know that it's made our jobs stressful. I know that it's made our marriages stressful. Anybody got in a good fat argument and you're thinking, why did I get in that argument with my spouse? And it's really because I'm stressed about the corona. Why was I so mean to my kids? I don't know. Probably because I don't have any oxygen going to this brain because I'm wearing this mask. It's making me goofy. Can we all agree? The corona has done some crazy things to us. I don't even want to talk about some of the loony things I've done. Because they're crazy. And I think, why did I do that? Well, because of the inability to go and do anything else, I've just tried new stuff that is nutty. Well, I'm still living. Still alive. Luke chapter 9. I'm not belittling the difficulties of this, but I'm magnifying the God that we serve because He's doing something behind the scenes, in the scenes, above the scenes. He's working. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. Here's what it's going to take to really follow the Lord. Here's what it's going to take to have the success that you want to have. See, some of you, you're feeling like, okay, I'm at a standstill, and I don't feel like I'm going forward or backwards. I just feel like I'm stuck. Here's what we got to do. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. See, God's calling believers to follow him better than they ever have before. And ironically, he's wanting that out of people in a time where you can't even get people to hardly do anything. Yes. God works in some ways that we would have never worked in. The Psalms and David, he said, God, you enlarged my territory. You made me bigger. You did more in my life right in the middle of my own problems. In the middle of the worst things of my life, God, you enlarged my territory right in the middle of my distress, right in the middle of a pandemic, God. You have the ability to come up into this and to make it better than what it ever was before. And it says, he said to another man, follow me. See, God's saying, follow me. What are you doing? Are you following me? But the man replied, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. Okay, so we've talked about complaining, groaning, looking back. Now we're going to talk about excuses. We're going to talk about excuses. Lord, I will follow you, but there are some things that I've got to do first. There's people that's going to hear this message streaming. You may hear it today and know that this is you. God's telling you, I'm calling you to follow me closer than you've ever followed me before. And you're going, yeah, but God, I got to go do this first. Yeah, but I got to, no. You don't. God's not looking for the reason you won't do what he's telling you to do. God's looking for somebody to just say, God, here I am, I'll do it. It's when we can do that. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added. We're working towards all these things, and we got to make it happen. We got to fight. We got to struggle. No. But what you got to do is you got to hang in there, and you got to follow God. You got to follow him on the good days and follow him when you feel like backsliding. You got to follow him when you're feeling it and follow him when you don't feel it. Follow him when you don't wake up feeling saved. We all have them days where we wake up and we're just feeling like we're going to show out. Let's keep it real. We do. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And Jesus said, "No, you don't got to go do what you just said. What you got to do is follow me." Now, what are you going to do? And still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." See, there's always an excuse for just procrastinating and putting on the back burner for what God's telling us to do. That slows that process down. The complaining and the groaning and the looking back, it slows it down. But the excuses slow it way down. And then we get all upset because we're like, "Well, God, I want your will. Why? What is going on?" And we want to say, "Well, the devil did this, and that's why." No. Stop glorifying that devil. Because he didn't have no part of the trouble that's going on up in this situation. God told you to follow him, to do this, to do that. You didn't do it, and that's why you're having problems. Now, I know this is a very unpopular message because I hadn't heard no amens hardly all morning. Look here, I'm still going to preach it. Because I don't run off of amens. I run off of the Holy Ghost, and when he says preach this, I'm going to preach that. It's how it is. You know, sometimes I tell God, I'm going to be honest with you. When I get totally frustrated, I sit down and I have myself a pity party. You know what I say? "Well, what would happen if I just decided I wasn't going to show up for some really wonky reason?" Amen. Then the devil goes, "Yeah, why don't you do that just to show them?" And I start thinking in my crazy head, "Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'll make that an object lesson." And God's going, "You're crazier than even I thought." See, that we get off. And God's saying, "Now you need to follow me. You need to follow me. You need to stick this in here. You need to keep on, keep on, keep on." Amen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Amen. Don't keep looking back and saying, "But I want this," or "It was going so good." No, it's going to go better. It's going to go better. But we're so messed up over what we think that we had that it hinders us from getting the thing that God really wants us to have. Have you seen that thing on Facebook? And there's this little kid and there's Jesus. And the little kid's got a little tiny little teddy bear. And he's holding that thing and he don't want to give it to Jesus. And behind Jesus' back is a big teddy bear. See, we got something little we think that we got and we're keeping it. We ain't letting nobody have it. We're not giving that up. And God's got this thing, and he's saying, "Can you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you just put me first?" And people are going, "Nope. Nuh-uh. I can go to Walmart 37 times, God, but I'm not doing that." I don't know why I'm just preaching in the back, because this is something for everybody. Let me back up. I'll have all that hate mail, and people are like, "You are just preaching to four people." Let me just tell you, this is for everybody. This is for the internet people. This is for the app people. This is for everybody that we send CDs to. Because see, everybody's doing this. You don't think people aren't sitting on their couch and they're telling God, "But God, if we could only go back to everything how it was, why are you being so mean to us, God, and you're just making us struggle?" No, God's helping us. Can you look back at your life and see when you went through a hard time, it really, in some weird way, it got you to where you are. And where you are isn't half bad. And so Jesus replied, here's the nugget. We've talked about that complaining and all that stuff. We've talked about excuses. And Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven." God's got a place where he wants you to go, but he's saying this right here. See, however strong you think it come off sometimes, read the Bible. God doesn't sugarcoat anything. And he's saying this right here. Whoever puts their hand to the plow, they best be looking forward. Because the moment that they start doing this number, they're not fit. Do we all do this? Yes, we do. That's not an excuse. Many times we go and we do little things and we know they're wrong and we're doing them and they're wrong right in the middle of us doing them and we know they're wrong and we're saying this, Andy. We're saying, well, but everybody else does that too, so it's normal. You don't want to be normal. You don't want this normal life. Look around you. Normal is really not that great. What you want is supernatural God. What you want is what God has. What God has is not normal. It's supernatural. It's abundant. See? And we got a society that is settling. The believer is settling. Because they're looking back. It's time to just look forward. Don't put your family and your life and all of that you have. Don't sit there and put your hand to the plow and then keep looking backwards. It's going to mess you up. You're going to have some bad days when you keep doing that. Look forward. When you start getting depressed about where you think something's headed to with this corona stuff, what you need to say is, God, I know that you have a plan. And God, this is all a part of your plan. God, I yield and I surrender right now to what you'd have me to do in this situation. Because God, I know that I will see a victory. God, I know that I will see your divine will in this situation. And God, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. We got people, they're just walking off the scene. They ain't holding on to nothing. They're like, nope. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. And here's Paul, and he gives us some of the best advice, and it still holds its relevancy after all these years, and here's what he says. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect. And he's saying, I know that I'm not perfect, but I'm going to keep it real. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And whether we like to admit things or not, there was a time in each one of our lives where we weren't holding on to God, but God took a hold of us. And Paul's saying, because of that, I know I'm not perfect, but I press on because I know somebody's holding on to me. I know somebody's got my back. I know that they've got me from beginning to end, that they're the author and the finisher of my faith. And so I'm not going to get all crazy acting when things don't go my way. I'm going to press on. We've lost our ability as a nation to press on. Got a bunch of wimpos crying about every little thing. We're killing our own. We're killing our own babies. Every believer needs to be a believer. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it says, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, and we just talked about this, forgetting what is behind me. we just read where it says, now forget the former things. Don't think about those things. Stop going back in your mind. Stop looking back. Stop taking the plow, and then every 2 seconds you're looking back. Grab a hold of that plow and go. Go for it. Grab a hold of it. Move forward. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. There are times that I want to tell you two baby Christians that it's a strain. Have you ever strained to do what God told you to do because it was the most difficult thing you ever did? He didn't say everything was going to be easy, but he said a few things that are very important. I'm going to always be with you. Take the plow. Because, see, when you take that plow, what he's doing is he's putting his hands over your hands, and he's helping you to move forward. There's times where I've taken that plow, and I've said, God, I can't do this. And God said, Kelly, baby girl, put your hands on the plow. Keep on the plow. He's put his hands over mine, and he said, we're doing it. This is us doing it right now. Heather, we all have times where we feel like we're being stretched a little thin. And we're telling God, God, I can't. And God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. When you can't, he can. What does it say? When I'm weak, he's strong. We got to stop feeling all the pressure that we're going off of our own ability. We're not going off of our own ability. God knows we're half nuts. I got news for you. The ones that we was already half there, this has put us over the edge. I was telling Jeremy the other day, I'm about to lose it. I'm on edge. He goes, baby, you live on edge. It's a short trip. I thought, man, 12 years of marriage has made us really know each other well. That man knows me. When I get this look in my eye, he'll be like, now I know you're fixing to say blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I've done taking the excitement out of this shenanigan all out for me. I was really about to get on one, and here you are already knowing what I'm going to say. I hate when he does that because it takes the thunder out of it. You know? It takes the wham-bam out of there. So it's a strain toward being going ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you something. I am not for a minute belittling what is going on in our country. I am not for a minute belittling the coronavirus. But what I will not do is magnify it above the living God. God can and will and is using the negative, he's turning it around, and he's causing it for our good. And we can't afford to sit on our couches anymore and cry and tell God we want to go back. Because see, what I want to put in your heart, if I haven't done a good job of putting anything else in there today, Keisha, what I want to get up in this little heart of yours is, I don't want to go back. God, I want to go forward. God, I know that what you've got for me ahead is way better than what I have behind me. Amen. Amen. See, we're all on the same level with that because, see, I got to tell myself that too. Because, you know, there's the dumb part of me that's like, well, everything was great. Now what? Well, God said, Kelly, I did it before. I've done it over and over. Stop. Go forward. Stop looking back. Stop looking back and telling me how you wish this and wish that. Stop. Because Misty, what he has for us, we couldn't even imagine it. And it's going to take our skills that we're learning, that we've learned today. We don't need to complain about all this stuff. We just need to say, God, you've got it under control, and I know that you're making something happen for me extraordinary. In the middle of all this trouble, God, you're creating a miracle just for me. And God, I'm not going to buck you. God, I'm not going to question you. God, I'm not going to complain about the process that it's taken. God, I'm just going to be your kid. I'm just going to be your kid. Years ago when this ministry was founded, Dad said, Millie, I believe that God wants us to go to Arkansas, and this is what I believe He wants to happen. And that's scary for women when they, at that time, they just had Casey. She was just a little baby. They had just gotten their dream home, bought it, were doing good. She had just become an RN. And she said, see, a lot of women would be like, well, I don't care what you want to do. I'm not going. She said, Ange, I just want to be one of the girls. I just want to go. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to do what God's telling you to do. Look at what one act of not bucking God has created. There's people going to heaven just because somebody decided not to buck their husband. We got to get out of this thing where we're looking back all the time on some stuff. Because Brother Ernie, the latter part is better than even what we've been through before. If we could see, this is what God ministered to my heart, Kelly. If you could see what I've already got going on that's going to be happening, you would never ask to give me what you had before. Faith is the evidence of things that we can't see, taste, hear, or smell. We just got to trust God. We got to trust Him. Now, they're getting sick of them kids in the back, and my job is about 99% done. I hope that God has broken up some ground in your heart for you to be able to let this word seep through to the very core of who you are, because I know people are struggling. I know people are hurting. I know people are irritated, and they're stressed, and they're thinking, what am I going to do? And God's saying to you today, I'm handling it. And the only thing that you can do is just agree to go forward. Go forward. Go. You ever seen somebody get behind a little kid and go nudge them and they won't go? That's what He's trying to do to some of us right now, Misty. So if you're in a place in your life and you say, God, help me. You know, there was a man in the Bible and he said, God, I believe, but help the unbelief that's gotten in this heart. If this has gotten to you today and you say, God, I want to move forward, help me move forward, help me to stop looking back, help me to stop seeing things, and God, help me to see it how you see it. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand up. God's going to help you to stop looking back. You don't want to look back anymore. God's got something good for you, but it's going to require you to stop that looking back. Stop that comparing to what you're in now to what you had. What you had is just like a little speck compared to what you're getting. Y'all just begin to lift your hands. Begin to receive. See, God's going to pour some things into you right now. God, in Jesus' name, all over the place tonight, God, Lord, I just loose right now the anointing in Jesus' name. God, I thank you right now for the spirit of peace, God, and obedience right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that we're able, God, to pick up that plow, to go forward and to not look back. God, and help us right now to stop saying, God, I want to go back. Lord, help us to go forward. Help us to go forward with you, Lord. And God, we receive it right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask for blessing and provision on your people right now, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We have got a bunch of produce in the back. Cucumbers, broccoli, plums,